You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Indeed, it is a Wednesday, and every Wednesday we profile some of the leading small businesses, and today is no different. For our entrepreneurship segment today, we're profiling Nomthi Sekgale about her business, Bubbly's Organics, which specializes in handmade organic, eco-friendly herbal and naturally refined facial, body, skin and healthcare products. Sounds like this is something that I definitely need. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I am blessed. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. How was your day?
My day was a little bit crazy. Okay. But hey, I'm here. I'm actually excited about this interview.
We are very excited as well. We're very excited. Well, they say that in the world of entrepreneurship, crazy and busy is a good thing. Would you agree?
Definitely. And a little bit bubbly.
Yeah.
A little bit bubbly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bubbly. Hence, Bubbly's Organic.
I got you. Not just busy, but bubbly as well, right?
Definitely.
Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us this evening. We really appreciate it. You're going to be talking about your business, which I was really excited as well to have this conversation. But before we dive into your business and what is it that you guys do, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, so as you have said, my name is Nomthi Sekgale.
Yep.
I was affectionately called after my grandmother, named after my grandmother, rather, by my father. And this is my maternal grandmother, Nomthandazo.
Oh, I see.
And this means a woman of prayer. And my mother also named me Kutlwano, which means harmony. So most people either know me as Nomthi or Kutlwano or Nomthandazo Sekgale.
And where did you grow up?
So I was born and raised in Mabopane. Actually born and bred in Mabopane, but raised in Mafikeng in the Northwest Province.
Okay. Mafikeng in the Northwest Province in South Africa. For those of you listening to us from outside of South Africa, it is in the north, well, the west of Gauteng. So if you're in Gauteng, it's to the west. How was it like growing up in Mafikeng?
Oh, wow. It is, I can say, magical. The reason I would say magical is because I was raised by my grandparents, my maternal.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, which I was named after, was an entrepreneur. So I guess I didn't just take after her name, but entrepreneurship was something that I was blessed with.
Yeah.
While I had a grandfather who was based in the executive space of things.
Okay.
Once managed the airport of Mafikeng, being part and friends of Barikemang. Our old president, Mangope. So they used to be best friends. So I copied and pasted some of the learnings that I got from my grandparents around me.
That's fantastic. Now, Bubbly's Organics, tell us a little bit about the business. When did it start? And what do you guys specialize in?
Okay, so as I mentioned, I am the CEO and founder of Bubbly's Organics.
Yep.
So this is an enterprise within the beauty, health, and cosmetics.
Okay.
So currently I source my raw material from Ghana.
Okay.
And these are raw materials that are for your body, hair, skin. But the interesting part is that these are also vegan products that people can actually use to cook with. Apart from the African black soap.
Yes.
So I source my shea butter and cocoa butter from Ghana and also African black soap. And as I'm speaking to you, I'm just about to have like my first shipment from Nigeria.
Okay.
Of the mango butter and avocado butter, amongst the four butters that I went looking for over just almost like a year ago. So I went there, and my municipality, through Tshwane Economic Development Agency in Pretoria, they took me there for a business forum in Nigeria, and I went there just looking for four batters.
Yeah.
So I currently manufacture these organic, natural Ayurvedic. So maybe you might be wondering, what is Ayurvedic? These are like herbal, natural products in South Africa. Yes. So I manufacture this from my home in Mabopane in Pretoria. And then I courier nationwide. And I've got some clientele based in Taiwan, Botswana, Dubai, Nigeria, and looking into expanding. So I just mentioned just a few some clientele that I have. And in terms of the business, how old it has been? A little under 5 years.
5 years, okay.
Yes, because I began with a pilot research from around 2017 in terms of selling. Although the research for starting how to use these products began around like 2010. And I only registered my company in 2019.
Sure.
Yeah.
Five-year journey so far. Now, why the beauty industry? I mean, did you have an interest in it from a young age? Or, you know, did it find you? As some people would normally say, that the jobs and the businesses they're in found them. Would that be the case with you?
So basically, in 2009 until 2014, I had been working for Human Sciences Research Council here in Pretoria. I then happened to befriend a colleague at the time who was coming from Canada. So Antoinette Davis, she has genes, or she's like has an ethnicity of Nigeria while she's still living in Canada. So she introduced me actually to what seemed like black stones at that time. So these are the small particles of the African black soap. I could say they were granules. And then she put some of these inside a bottle and put some water. And then she also introduced me to the shea butter. So during this time in 2010, I loved her hair. Wow, she had beautiful hair, a flawless skin. And I remember I wanted to transition my hair from Relax products, because all of my life when I was a kid, I had people telling me that you've got stubborn hair. So I would go to the salon and people would just be hitting on my hair with the comb and a lot of heat. And that felt like a bit of an abuse. And then after that, then in 2017, after my research work, then I... Then 2017, then, or oh, before going to 2017, in 2014, as I was still working for University of Portugal and University of Pennsylvania, this was through Human Sciences Research Council, then I was awarded a scholarship to do the Magellan MBA at Porto Business School. So I left for the 14-month program, and then I came back home and I needed two things. What are you going to be doing with your life? So I contemplated on this, but then back and forth went to God and said, Lord, I need you to guide me and shield me through this journey. I don't know what I need to do, but you've placed this dream in my hands. So now I'm an entrepreneur, yet my childhood dream was becoming like a medical doctor. So then what happened was... 2017, I shared it for some women that were around Pretoria that were in a similar business, in the shea butter business. So they had been sourcing their shea butter from Benin. And I had gotten nice reviews, but then also there were some reviews that clients did not like or prefer from the shea butter. So I would go back to them and give them the feedback. And But still, I opened some markets around Sadek, like Botswana, where I would go and sell the products there. And so I created a demand, and now there was an issue with supply.
Okay.
So then that opened up an opportunity for me to look into business, whereby now I figured, remember you've done this whole research all of these years, whereby you started sourcing your Ghana product, which is your shea butter, from Ghana. And that time I started cutting it and melting it and giving it to my aunts or, you know, acquaintances, people that I knew. And some, they would say that they left the product on their hair, or I fixed an issue like a hairline issue, or a bit of like an alopecia issue, hair loss issue, or pigmentation issue around like the skin and so forth. So then I saw an opportunity in 2017 when they could not now give me the product. And as to how it began in terms of the funding, as you mentioned, I have an older brother who was also raised by my grandparents.
Yeah,
he was also named after my grandfather, our maternal grandfather, and he's an entrepreneur. He gifted me with some cash to kickstart my business. So then I began with selling the raw ivory shea butter that I started sourcing just a little bit from Ghana and then the African black soy. Then bit by bit started growing the business. Within like about a year or so, I added the cocoa shea butter and the yellow shea butter. So maybe you're wondering, what is the shea and the cocoa and the African black soy? These are plant-based products, as I mentioned earlier. The shea butter comes from a shea nut, which is mostly around like west of Africa. So you can have it even from around like Cote d'Ivoire and also Uganda and so forth. So then they have a white shea butter and a yellow shea butter. So when I wanted to find out about the yellow shea butter, I was like, "What? Why is it different?" Then I learned that there is a certain ink that is natural that is used from a tree as well, that is called the Burutu tree. And they use that as a nutrient to color that yellow shea butter, just to make it a nicer and smoother as well. So, and then I got the cocoa butter, and the cocoa butter comes from the cocoa bean that we usually use for coffee. The interesting part about the African black soap, it has some stuff called from the cocoa pods, the plantain. You can, I think you can hear all of these things are edible stuff, right?
Yes, that's interesting. Yes.
Yeah, and that's what I really found intriguing, because I believe in what you eat is what you are. So then it was really great, because then at the time, remember, I had been transitioning my hair from relic products. These are harmful products that people do not know. They have chemicals. Some products that we use that are found from our shops, I often say to my clients, if you cannot pronounce it, leave it on the store. If it has all of these sounding like paraffin, you know, sulfate, petrolatum, and speaking of the Vaseline, you know, they're good for winter conditions, but the fact is that these things are chemicals. And some of these chemicals are cancerous. And so as I expanded my research, then I looked into all these other things. I'm like, huh? Then I realized that there's a lot of articles where people have found that people are using a lot of products on their skins, which are very harmful. And I searched again, and I found that it seemed as though it's the black woman that seems to be having a lot of your breast cancer, a lot of your cervical cancers, but also the men, because the mummies are the ones that are buying the product. So there's prostate cancer issues and so forth. And so I wanted to come up with something that would be a sustainable product that you can use from your scalp. I feel like the scalp is just the same as your skin for your face, and just the same skin for your feet. And I think for me, I somewhat found my value proposition in terms of my business. Where I was like, you know what? find something that you can use from the scalp to your hair and to your skin, from washing, and something that you can actually moisturize your hair with. So as I'm talking to you, even if I started with about 3 products, I've actually made and manufactured over about 20 products from
them. Sure. That's massive, and it seems like it has been quite a journey. I was going to be asking you about, you know, the range, but sure, 20 different over the years sounds like it's a lot of work. Okay, I'm going to come back to that one, but let's talk about you then a little bit. What drives you as an entrepreneur?
Oh, wow, what drives me?
Failure.
Yeah, failure and the fear of failure. I mentioned earlier that I had wished that I would have studied like my MBCHB at the June service that started off. But, you know, resilient, being too resilient and persevering, you know, it has gotten me to a place whereby now I'm in a space where I never thought or anticipated I'd be in. But of course, it's not because of my wisdom, but because of God's grace and mercy that I'm here. God also drives me. God actually, He's the most that drives me. Oftentimes, I pray for faith, you know, for trusting the process when I don't know. And I've seen Him how He's led me through my failing times, my failing moments. The fear of failure is something that I came across when I was really young. When I wanted to go for my medicine, but I was afraid that I was going to not make it because of my math and science. And I kept on still trying this and that and asking my parents, guys, listen, it doesn't look like I'm going to go for medicine. They said, okay, maybe you try electrical engineering. I did it. It wasn't in the health space. My dad said maybe architectural drafting. I did that. And then I got to communications. And when I got to communications, I found what I loved. And that's how I ended up at HSRC and becoming a researcher, because now I started translating and transcribing their questionnaires and whatever. So what drives me is God and Him leading me through it all. Yeah, Him leading me through it all. But knowing that I am fearful, but it is God that can actually assist me to renew whatever fears that I'm having or anxiety. So I always go to Him back and forth.
Sure, that's amazing. Do you have any regrets?
Do I have any regrets?
Yeah, well, you could have pursued medicine and all that. Would you say you've got regrets now, or are you quite comfortable, happy where you are and the route that you took now of business?
I can say that I'm actually happy. I'm at peace.
Yeah.
I'm at peace. Reason being that I said I am not a medical doctor, but I'm aspiring to study further in epidemiology studies. And that is like philosophy, where I would just mention of all the articles that I've had on my journal, all the information that I have through my research work. So it's just by God's grace. I am not regretful, but I'm mostly humbled by the journey.
All right. Sure. What a beautiful journey. Now, typically, what does your day look like when you wake up in the morning? What time do you wake up? What time do you go to bed? You know, some people will tell you that you first up and last one out of the office at times, and the last one to go to bed even. So what does your day typically look like?
Ooh, I'm a chronic insomniac since birth.
Okay.
Which is a good but also not a good thing. So I would say that I try to go to bed around 8 p.m. So that I try and just no longer stimulate my brain. That it should know that it's time for resting. and I believe in 8 hours of sleep. If I've not managed to get about 8 hours of sleep, at least about 6 or 5. Nothing lesser than that. In terms of ending my day, I think around 8 p.m. I should just be in bed. And starting my day, it depends. That's the crazy part. That's the crazy part, really. Reason being that currently, now that I'm looking into international markets, sometimes you have clients trying to reach you at an American time, so 6 hours behind your time. And it becomes a little bit hectic. But by God's grace, I manage. So I would definitely wake up around my usual waking up time is currently 4 a.m. Where I begin with my devotion with the virtual prayers on FID ministry.
Amen.
Yes. So I hop in there, not always, always honestly. But this is where I draw my strength from. And then if I fail to wake up around 4 a.m., I'll probably be up around 6 a.m. Do my own personal devotion. I do a lot of devotional writing as well. And have maybe like my praise and worship. And then from there, 8 a.m., family prayer when I'm home. So I live with my mother, my grandmother, and our help, and we'll usually have our 8 a.m. prayers together. Then from there, the day begins. This would either be, on a good day, probably I will either decide to manufacture a product if it's needed on that day, maybe if I don't have that in stock. Or I would have to go courier. Or I'm looking into social media on how I can fix my social media. And gym, do gym as well in between. And so that's what my crazy schedule is like. It's very much unpredictable. But one is able to manage.
Ah, that's beautiful. Now, how difficult was it raising funding? I know you've touched a little bit on it, but I'm just raising this one again for entrepreneurs or people who are aspiring entrepreneurs and want to get into entrepreneurship. You find that there's different challenges. Some, there are no opportunities. Even when you're chasing some sort of funding, there's onerous requirements and compliance associated with such things. How easy was it for you? And maybe what would you say in as a one-line advice to entrepreneurs looking for funding?
Honestly, it's not easy getting funding. It is not easy. I began small. The problem about entrepreneurs sometimes is that you think you need to begin big. But you need to at least start with whatever that you have at the moment. I was lucky to be mentored by the likes of DJ Spoo. He said to me one time, "Nomti, Tengisa no my yin, you know, sell whatever that you can. If you can even sell like pillows, I'll be out here and I'll support you." And he taught me to sell street much, you know, street smart. Hustling, if I may use the word or term. And there are opportunities, there are grants, there are loans and so forth. But I organically so far, raised my business just from whatever many small money that I had. So, but there are the likes that I can mention for those that are listening. You can also be incubated in programs with Ekasi Lab or the Innovation Hub. That's the program that's there that also assisted me. The likes of Toshia M was also part of it. You've got the likes of Tony Economic Development Agency that will teach you on export. I am currently on the Basadi Development Program with Standard Bank and Giving Wings. They're also training us in terms of financial grants and so forth, and, you know, how to do your bookkeeping or whatever. This coming Thursday, actually, we'll be doing banking and access to those financial aid. We also have got the likes of SEDA, S-E-D-A. I'm also registered under them. They also give opportunities whereby if there is like a pavilion you can go to, travel, you do your export. Yeah, just to mention those few. And then there's also compliance issues, as you mentioned. You need to be registered with the CIPC. Mostly with these people, they would want to know, are you registered?
Yeah.
Or is this like just an idea? So that they can assist you, like from the innovation hub, to get you mentorship and so forth. And then take you through their incubation program.
Yeah.
So you need to be compliant before you even think of export.
Yes.
Remember I mentioned being street smart and all of that. I got friends from Botswana, which are assisting me to expand my business base. So sometimes when they come through, they would just buy a few products and then they would say, let's see if I'm not going to be able to try and resell for myself. So that's what they're doing currently. It sounds not okay because of the fact that they don't need to be taking or using my export papers, but we are still testing markets. So with time, then you get to do those papers. I've done my SARS papers before. You need to be SARS compliant with the tax and so forth. And yeah, those are the things that I'm actually thinking of as I'm speaking to you on the top of my head right now.
How did you build your database of customers? You mentioned some in outside of South Africa, you know, Europe, America. How does one go about doing that? And maybe as an advice as well to aspiring entrepreneurs.
First and foremost was word of mouth. So because it works good for somebody else, that other person was able to probably tell them I'm using this on my hair or on my skin. But also word of mouth for me. I literally go to the clients. Sometimes I look at myself, I'm like, hey, Maranom Tiwana, maybe you're crazy. I don't shy about speaking about what I do because the moment you just look at me, you can see by my hair or my skin that they speak for themselves, and I often speak on what I do. And sometimes I even force people to take my numbers or I take their numbers. I will tell them I've got my social handles on TikTok as Bubbly's Organic. So it's Bubbly apostrophe S Organic. And I will tell them, please check me out on either Instagram or Facebook. Even give up my WhatsApp numbers because I've got like a catalog also on my WhatsApp. So my WhatsApp is a business and also a personal profile. And so those are the things that I use mostly. And like right now, what we're doing, speaking over this about what I do, that's how I reach people. I have had other radio interviews. And traveling, you know, going to these exhibitions, export, or going for some of these trainings. Like one of the trainings that I've been on last year was with Africa Women Innovation and Entrepreneurship Forum. The CEO is Mama Irene Ochem, who is based in Cape Town, and she's Nigerian. So when she started this campaign, I think she was thinking of people like me. So they invited me to actually come through later in November. We will be in Kigali in Rwanda, where I will be exhibiting some of my products. And also, I'm hopefully going back to Africa Movie Academy Awards in Nigeria.
Oh, lovely.
Because after the interview that I had with one of their creative directors last year, this is Hotel Ezirin. I just ran an idea with him. You know, I just pitched something, just laid back, and we partnered. I signed my first international contract with Africa Movie Academy Awards last year for November, and I went there and I sponsored their Extinguished Guests with my product. And so this year we're looking forward to probably exhibiting again. This time I'll be exhibiting for the first time, actually. And then next year, the idea that I ran with him last year, we are hoping to be launching a beautiful hair fashion show. We will be bringing in all products that are sustainable within Africa and outside of Africa to come and have their products at the show, which is going to be like a hair fashion show. But also we're looking into seeing how we cannot have anything that would be your ethnic African traditional looking like we. So we're going to be looking for such creators to come to this. We don't know as yet where it will be, but we're hoping that instead of Nigeria or anywhere around the world, it will be in South Africa next year.
That's
how I reach my people.
Friends, family, former colleagues and all that, has entrepreneurship changed your life? Maybe you now don't necessarily always have time. You know, you've got a business to run, and so you always have to prioritize maybe time with family or time with friends. Does that happen with you as well?
Oh, I'm such a family person.
Yeah.
I make time. I really try to make time as and when I can. Same way with friends. I have more of brotherhood, sisterlyhood, more than friendship. And I also try and make time for them. So nothing really, really changed with that. I don't think, or colleagues, ex-colleagues or so forth. No, I can't think of anything. I've been trying literally just to time with them. Yeah.
That's lovely. What would you say is the one big challenge in your 5-year journey so far?
I hope I'm not going to be emotional over this one.
Okay.
I was just interviewed last week by the Basadi Development Program at Standard Bank. And I found myself tearing down. And I was like, you know what? It's normal because it means that I'm healing. My greatest challenge was the trauma that came with the pandemic.
Eish.
The trauma that came with the pandemic, losing a lot of loved ones. I lost my aunt, my uncle. So my aunt from my paternal Rakhadi, and then I lost Malume. Malume was my mother's younger brother. And this was a man who really believed in me. And he was Advocate Moses Mwelepi, also was known as a pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so in 2021, around June, he was tested positive, for the COVID. And this was a very crucial time for my business, as I had just graduated with the government of Germany. And they took me to school for a managing program with GIZ, and I graduated. And during this time, I shared with my uncle, Malume, you need to come out of that hospital, because he had just finalized his articles, such as articles on international business from the law perspective. And I knew this was somebody that I could bank on when it comes to such language and, you know, somebody that I trust there. And so I graduated and I told him, come out. And then he said, congratulations, I'm proud of you. And he never came out of the hospital. The grieving. I only stopped grieving properly when I said to myself, Nomti, get up. Get out of this pit that you're in November 2022 last year. And this is because of my business partner from African Movie Academy Awards, Mr. Charles Everin, who said to me, listen, when I met you in June, when you were here, you were so vibrant, outspoken, but it seems like there's something that you're not projecting that I saw in you. And I would like for you to begin by showing me your finances so that I can assist you, so that I invest in you. It is a really shaking moment for me because I knew that I was about to lose partnership with this man. And he said to me, if I don't see you haven't made this X amount around this time because you have not wanted to get whatever funding that I'm offering to you, I think I'm just going to end whatever business relations we have. And I was shook. I was really shook. And that was a wake-up call for me. And I prayed. I think I fasted as well. And then I suddenly got a call to do some products for a salon. And I had been tapping into that salon market, but I never had anybody. And I was able to go back to him and I said, well, that amount of money that you wanted me to make, I've made it.
That's beautiful.
And I think I've even made more of that.
Yeah.
And now he is coming in into South Africa, bringing me my shea butter in the next month.
That's
my first
beautiful.
Shipment will be coming from Nigeria, and I thank God for that. So with the ups and downs of what the pandemic did, it made me slow down. It made me also to restructure, because before that, I was not willing and easily accepting of investors or looking for partnerships. I didn't know how to do that. But with my first partnership that I got with this man, he really assisted me. So from my grieving, I often say it's often darkest towards dawn.
Yes.
So I currently feel like I'm in the dawn side of it all, even
That's
after
beautiful.
Those challenges that I faced.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Sure. As we draw closer to an end, what would you do differently if you were to start all over again?
Wow. I felt like I feel like I've started all over again, but this time it's much more easier because I know my biggest blunders. One is to have the right tools and the right people in place because I can no longer do it by myself. And I've seen that by the growth of the fact that I was able to have partnerships in the business, which was not easy. So that is a great blunder. Sometimes one thinks that because they are a leader or because they have this alpha aspect, you know, of a personality trait, they are not easily accepting to partner with people. We're not easily trusting that a person can do this. So I'm actually looking at places whereby now getting into expansion of the business, as my father was able to bless me with a piece of land for my herbal farm around the northwest. So I'm looking forward to be now no longer doing everything by myself, but putting everyone in the right places for bookkeeping, record keeping, you know, marketing, advertising, for all of these things. People who will be able to melt and hand make my products, but still bottle and package them the way that I want them to do. And yeah, that's what I feel like I should change, or that needs to be changed, to move away from just working as a loner. Because yes, the entrepreneurship journey is very lonely, but there are places and time for one to expand. So that's what I'm actually looking forward to changing currently.
Yeah. And so that would be your long-term goal?
Those are also my short and long-term goals. Yes, definitely. Yeah, those are definitely my long-term. In the next 2-3 years, I want to still study, do my epidemiology research studies, go back to work with Human Sciences Research Council, because I worked in the study on health and small business with them. And this is basically what I'm doing. So I'm looking to also creating jobs from here in South Africa to the diaspora, probably place my factory in Nigeria, because the government of Nigeria is always asking me, Nonki, where are you? Where are you? We're waiting for you. They said to me they would even offer me a piece of land for me to have the business there, which really makes sense.
Sure.
To have the business in Nigeria, because that's where the butters and the climate is, and to have the sustainable business.
Sure, fantastic. In 10 seconds or less, what would be your final thoughts, your final words, people who are listening out there, you know, what advice would you give them, also entrepreneurs as well?
Wow, the last word, trust the process. But trusting in God, because this is a religious radio station. I'm not going to shy about speaking about what God has done for me, because I believe whatever that He's done for me, He can do it 10 times more for anyone listening.
That's beautiful.
To this, you know.
Yeah.
Go back and ask God. You know, I asked God in 2017. I remember we'd pray at home and I said, Lord, I need you to be the foundation of this business. I needed to give me wisdom. I remember still in 2009 when I worked into those HSRC office. I didn't know where I was going as a 22-year-old. I didn't know where I was going, and I said, God, I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm letting you to do everything. And again, trust in your failures. There is beautiful, successful stories and failures. The fear of failure got me where I'm at. I'm not sure where I'm going, but I know who's the one who's holding my hand, so I don't have any stresses about that. And yeah, maybe I could also even share more of again, just a synopsis, just to give them what I do. So I create these organic, natural, and Ayurvedic products. So Ayurvedic, I said, these are herbal products which are wholesome for your facial, body, skin, and hair care. So you can use the soap for washing your hair, and you could still use like an ointment that would be like an Ayurveda oil, like my rosemary and clove oil or hemp oil. And you can also just contact me if you want to use any of my butters.
Yeah.
I also have butters which are blended and infused with herbs, essential oils, carrier oils. And if you definitely feel like you need to get in touch with me, you can check me up on all of my socials. Bubbly's Organics.
So
it's Bubbly, B-U-B-B-L apostrophe S. Organics, O-R-G-A-N-I-C-S. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or I don't know, can I share also my phone number for WhatsApp if anybody wants to use it? Okay, cool. So they can also contact me. I prefer not being called, rather texted, especially for the first time people, on 061-350-8785. For the international people which are listening, it's going to be +27. 61-350-8785.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us this evening. We wish you nothing but the best, and hope for the best. We can certainly check with you later on, and you'll be flying international, taking our call somewhere in Nigeria there and telling us about the beautiful things that you're doing in Nigeria. But thank you so much for taking the time this evening.
Thank you kindly for having me, and God bless.
God bless you too. Thank you so much. That is Unomti Sekgale, and she is from, of course, Bubbly's Organics. So you can find them on all social media platforms under that name.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Hey, our week of prayer is coming up.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media, will be hosting a week of prayer the last week of every second month. All are encouraged to participate and invite a friend or family who might benefit from the prayer. Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen and download the app to connect to AWR SID Media. You can send your prayer request to +27 73 470 3520, or you can connect with us on Facebook at AWR SID Media. Prayer week will be at 8:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 5:30 p.m. Central African Time. Adventist World Radio SID Media, from broadcast to baptism. Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.